Easter initiates a new day. It anticipates a new heaven and a new earth. The risen Lord is making all things new. In the mystery of holy baptism, God has made new people of us. Today, the Lord Jesus invites us to see everyone in a new light through the lens of love. Gathered to worship in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. For the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand for the gathering song.
Thank you.
Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the
circumcised men and eat with them. Then Peter began to explain it to them, step by step, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, Get up, Peter, kill and eat. But I replied, By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered in my mouth. But a second time the voice answered from heaven, What God has made clean, you must not call profane. This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house saying, "Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved." And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God? When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." We'll read responsibly Psalm 148. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise God in the heights.
Praise the Lord, all the angels. Sing praise, all you hosts in heaven.
Praise the Lord, sun and moon. Sing praise, all you shining stars.
Praise the Lord, heaven and heavens, and you waters of all the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, who commanded, and they were created. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps.
Fire and hail, snow and fog, tempest and wind,
mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Wild beasts and all cattle, green things and wild
birds. Sovereigns of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the world. Let them praise the name of the Lord, whose name only is exalted, whose splendor is over the earth and heaven. The Lord has raised up strength for the people, and praise for all faithful servants. The children of Israel, the people who are near the Lord. Hallelujah. The second reading is from the book of Revelations, chapter 21, beginning with first verse. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away," and the one who is seated at the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." The word of the Lord.
Chapter.
Glory.
When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify himself in him, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
Please be seated. Our Sit and Amai worship is advertised as the best of Sit and Amai, and one of the best things of Sit and Amai, I think, is a play done at the Stoughton Village Players. And so I thought we'd start with a skit of our own.
I'm sure glad to see all you people that signed up for our Lutefisk. Oh, it's going to teach you about Lutefisk. Yeah. Well, I guess you didn't sign up, but you're in your seats. Close the doors, you're here. Okay, Mary, hit it.
Okay. Well, we wanted to start with a quick explanation of how you cook this stuff. Lutefisk is stockfish that is dried. It's hard, so it's pretty good looking and it's yummy too. You soak it in fresh water for 8 days, then you soak it in a solution of lye for 2 days, and then you soak it again in fresh water for 2 days again.
A lye solution? Not me. Well, I'm allergic to lye.
Sit down, don't think about it. After all that, then you simmer it, and it gets all soft and clear and kind of squishy. Oh, it is so good. Then you get your plate, and you put on the lutefisk, the potatoes, the rutabaga, the melted butter, and then you also get rumgrat, and you get rice pudding. You can't beat this.
Mm. That sounds like an awful lot of work.
Well, yeah, you betcha. That is why we buy it already soaked and ready to cook. It saves a lot of time.
Why do you spend all that time telling us about the soaking part?
Do you want to know about the lutefisk or not? Be quiet and you pay attention now. We taught about cooking some here, but we didn't want people passing out in the sanctuary. It just won't look good. We wanted you to know the way it's cooked at our church. In the kitchen for our annual lutefisk dinner, the first Saturday every December. And now you know.
You can even, now that we told you, cook at your house. Maybe better your garage. Your neighbors and family will just love it. They'll beg for more. And we have a treat for you. We're going to give you a taste of our lutefisk. Oh, you love it.
You're going to get some, and you're going to get some. Here, it's very tasty.
Have a taste of our lutefisk.
Oh, just a little taste. Just a little taste, and then you'll love it.
Have a taste of our
lutefisk. There you go. You need
some lutefisk.
You need some.
Have some lutefisk.
Oh, yummy lutefisk.
Good stuff. You make hair grow.
You need some
lutefisk. Here's some lutefisk.
You're going to love this. Yep, you. I didn't forget you. You too.
Did you get lutefisk? Everybody get lutefisk?
Yes, take a whiff. Doesn't it smell good? Oh, yum.
I can guarantee this lutefisk I just gave you, as you've never tasted lutefisk like that before, have you? No.
Here, Pastor Paula, you need to smell. Smell.
Here, you can have lutefisk.
Mine turned color.
You can have it. Every year, now when it's our lutefisk dinner, we always have such fun teasing about our lutefisk and our lefse. But as much as we like to joke about lutefisk, there are men, women, and children around the world who are starving. Back in the 80s, in Africa, they've had famines come and go, unfortunately, too many times. And in the 80s was one of the worst famines they had. And every country sent food over. And the Norwegians sent dried fish, which was cod, which is kind of nervous. And the American people fell in love with it. So now to this day, Africa is one of the largest consumers for Norway buying dried fish. And the lutefisk I got for us today, actually I got it at the African store in Madison because they sell it there too. And it was a blessing for them. And our lutefisk is pretty important. So thank you very much.
Africa is now one of Norway's top stockfish customers. We bought this bag, as Ruth said, at the African grocery store in Madison.
Just to smell it too.
The need for food in our country and other countries continues.
Well, grace and peace to you from God our Father, from Christ our risen living Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit our empowerer. Up on the screen, you can see the top ethnic foods that Americans love to eat. Number 10 is Mediterranean at 16%. Number 9, Indian at 19%. Number 8, Spanish at 22%. Number 7, Thai at 24%. 6, French at 26%. 5, Greek at 32%. Japanese, I think that should be 34%. Italian, 71%. Mexican, 74%. Chinese, 76%. Norwegian isn't on the list. No, doesn't make the list. Maybe because one of the foods they love, at least American Norwegians, is lutefisk. And lutefisk is one of those foods you either love or you can live without. But we're not the only ethnic group that enjoys a less than visually appetizing delicacy. This is Cambodia. And back during the Khmer Rouge regime, back in the 80s when people were starving, they discovered tarantulas. They would deep fat fry them and then eat them. Nowadays, it's a popular snack. And it tastes, I'm told, a bit like crab. To the north of us is Canada, and some adventurous Canadians have experimented with the nose of the moose. They boil it up with onions and spices, remove the hair, boil them again, slice them, and cover them with a broth that turns to jelly. It looks as bad as it sounds. Here's a Mexican dish. I can't speak the Spanish, but in English it's called sleeping excrement. It is corn smut, a fungus that turns a normal corn kernel into tumor-like growths covered in blue-black spores. To me, that looks like a diseased cob. You throw it away. But to some Mexicans, it's a culinary specialty, and they enjoy its woody, earthy flavor. This is Peter's vision. And I hope you're feeling a bit disgusted, because my goal was to make you feel in some small degree what Peter experienced when God lowered that sheet from heaven filled with four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, birds of the air, and told Peter, get up, kill, and eat. In that sheet were cows, sheep, goats, deer, antelope, and giraffes, foods that were kosher. Although Jews in first century Palestine would not have eaten giraffes, because they weren't familiar with giraffe, and it wasn't part of their tradition. And then there are bats, and mice, and snakes, and lizards, camels, rabbits, birds like hawks, storks, herons, gulls, and owls, all on kosher food. What God is suggesting totally grosses Peter out, and you can almost see his body recoil. He tells us exactly what he is thinking in the first reading for today. You have got to be kidding. That is so disgusting. No way, Lord. Nothing profane and unclean has ever touched my lips, entered my mouth, gone down to my stomach. Then Peter hears God tell him in no uncertain terms, what God has made is clean, and you must not call it profane. To get his point across, God repeats the vision three times. Three times in the Bible is God telling us, I'm serious. I'm not going to change my mind. Listen up. Unclean, profane. Now, those are words we don't use in our everyday conversations. In the Bible, anything unclean had a physical or moral blemish. After touching the dead, a person was unclean. A woman was unclean after her period, but they could be made clean again through a ritual that usually involved a bath. And once clean, they could rejoin the community. But a pig had no hope for being redeemed. It was simply unclean. Why? Because it didn't chew its cud, or it had cloven hooves. To tell you the truth, they were also filled with worms. And if you didn't fully cook the meat, you could get sick. Shellfish, too, was unclean because its skeleton was on the outside. That was never going to change. But to tell you the truth, once again, there is no way to transport shellfish from the coast to the hills before it died, before it, too, would make you sick if you ate it. What started out as common sense laws for the sake of one's health became objects of disgust, loathing. They were revolting. A pig, a shellfish was revolting. Peter gets the nickname. Peter gets the message. His nickname was the Rock for more than one reason. But he manages to get the message through his thick skull. He accepts what God has commanded. And somehow, no doubt with the help of God's Spirit, manages to change his thinking and his behavior. And he understands that God is not just talking about food, not just talking about pigs or shellfish. He understands that God is talking about people. Just like in the book, The Life of Pi. Pi is shipwrecked. Shipwrecked in a boat full of animals. There's the hyena, a zebra, an orangutan, a tiger. And at the end of the book, you realize those animals weren't animals at all, but his mother, a cook, and a sailor all died. but the tiger. And Pi shares that lifeboat with that tiger for weeks, for months. And we discover that tiger is his fear, his grief. God is talking about Gentiles, about those people that a Jew would see as disgusting as a pig and a shellfish. People that Jews would have called unclean, profane. And Peter realizes that in this vision, God is telling him, nothing I made is unclean, nothing I made is profane. These Gentiles, two are recipients of my love, my concern, my salvation. Peter realizes it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy to share this truth with those other Christians in his community, Christians who are Jews first. So he tells the story of his vision. And then he follows it with a story of the baptism of Cornelius, a Gentile, and his family. He shares how three men came knocking on his door, how the Spirit told him to go with them, how when he stepped into Cornelius' house, Cornelius shared with him how he had an angel visit him. And the angel had told him to send for Peter. Peter shares with those Jews gathered how he started preaching the good news to these Gentiles and how the Spirit descended upon them and they believed. They believed. Peter seems to have convinced them. They seem almost ready to allow them into their fold. Some think they should become Jews first, but they're almost ready to let them too be followers of Christ. God wants all of us to understand that God's love for the world is for each and every person in this world. What does John tell us in his gospel? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son to die for us. For God did not come into this world but to condemn the world, but to save the world. Or is in the gospel lesson for today, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You should love one another. And up on the screen you see how deep, how strong God's love for us is. But people do love to build walls between us and them. Love to judge one another. Love to find reasons to put somebody else down. Just listen to the news. But the good news is we have a God who never tires of loving us, of helping us to come to our senses, to see others as God sees them, all worthy. Worthy of God's love simply because God has decided to love us. Amen.